Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We'll jump on the video at WCCO Radio on Facebook and Twitter at the bottom of the hour when our friend Jamie Ukas makes her regular appearance. We'll talk about what's going on with Facebook, Google, Australia, and the implications for the states with an excellent guest from the Washington Post an hour from now. Adam twice has mentioned the very promising news in the direction of where we're headed with COVID in the state. It obviously is still horrible news for the family members because we had one individual pass away, and that cannot be forgotten. Okay, the impact of that loss on family and friends and loved ones and acquaintances, that's devastating news. So I don't want to dismiss that in any way. We also have to acknowledge that we've had other days where the numbers have been so much higher and staying at that level. And when we watch what's happened across the country with COVID, that numbers are dropping precipitously, dramatically. Vaccines playing a part, huge part. People hopefully smarter about it. But we still have what could be happening with the various variants. And I bring this up because now we have the school conversation, which has been out there and which everybody's talked about, our show included. The governor with a major press conference last week saying, I think we can get kids back to school starting, you know, the following Monday, which was yesterday, and even a bigger push for March 8th. And talking about feeling like that he can get most, if not all, of the teachers vaccinated near that March 8th date. I'm looking at a CCO TV story. Of the state's 30 largest districts, 18 had schools, actually, let me correct myself, it's a Pioneer Press story. 18 had schools open for some or all of their secondary students. Two additional districts have announced plans to reopen by March 8th. Eight more districts now have a distant learning plan to open later March or April. What is interesting, it leaves only our two biggest cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul, which have yet to announce plans for in-person instruction, for middle and high school students. We've talked about this a ton, where the rates for kids in elementary school is so much lower than it is for middle and high school kids. We understand the teacher part of it is an enormous part of the story, can't be forgotten, and the other administrators who work at the schools. Personally, if I was working, I'd say I need a vaccine. You can say I'm overreacting. You can say I'm wrong. That's how I feel. We have such a mixed message on that idea from in the state, from the federal government, within the federal government. It's just all over the place. But we are seeing changes. We are seeing more kids going back. So I want to hear from people on this. Where do you stand in this? You know, for me, my two oldest boys are well past this. Quinton attends transition because Quinton has some health issues. This is an option. Mike, my stepson, he has diabetes, so he faces some greater challenges. We'd love for Mike to go back. So if this involved my older boys who have fairly typical health concerns, they'd be back. They would be back, I believe. Adam, where are you at with the girls, and what's your view about where we're headed right now in the state of Minnesota?
The youngest went back last week full-time, and that's fourth grade, and I'm very happy about that. No issues as far as I know. I'm a little concerned about the pace of reopening for the middle school and the high school, because Morgan, I think we were discussing it, and I think it's still second week of March. And I understand, because the middle school, it's not like the South St. Paul does not have a separate middle school and a high school. They're together. So grades 6 yep. through 12th are in the right. same building. And they try to separate them, but it's just obviously it's not completely possible. So I think that is playing into some of their concerns. But I would like to see a little quicker return for them.
And for me, Dan, when I talked about if it was just my oldest boys, mm-hmm. that's if Quinton was not at risk.
Right.
Right. Because Quinton has low immunity, has a rare genetic condition, and very sadly, as both you guys know, his seizures have come back mm-hmm. at an alarming rate. You know, that would cause Hunter and Griffin to have to adjust. But I'm saying I believe for me, if it was just two kids, middle and high school, where we're at, pending the area, I think the boys would be back if Q's health was not an issue. As you look at this, and as the brother yeah. of a teacher, how do you see things playing out right now?
Well, and that's, you know, obviously I come at it, you know, with mostly being concerned about my brother and his health. He has had one shot of the vaccine. I believe he got Moderna, but I don't think it's been enough time yet for him to get the second shot yet. I'm not even sure if he's got that scheduled, to be honest with you, or not. So I feel relatively confident. He's also a high school basketball coach, and I think yep. the risk of exposure is much greater in that capacity than it would be necessarily in the classroom, just by the nature of how things work. So I do have concerns. You know, he's got, you know, four kids at home, and a wife, and you know, there aren't necessarily health issues per se, but you just always live in this fear. It feels like that there's going to be an outbreak around your family, and mm-hmm. That's where I'm really concerned. Now, everything that we've been hearing about vaccines, although I think it's mostly been centered around Pfizer, is saying that when you get that vaccine, you're pretty well off in terms of being protected. And the studies coming out of Israel, and now I think there was another one out of the UK today, bolster that idea that when you get that vaccine, you're in pretty good shape. And of course, they've got teachers PPE'd out. He sent me a picture the other week of wearing a mask and a face shield and saying, isn't the life of a teacher glamorous? And, you know, but so, you know, they're taking plenty of precautions. So I'm not living daily, minute by minute, in fear that he's going to get sick, but it's always there in the back of your head. Sure.
Among the texts coming in, I live in central Minnesota. Most of our schools are all in person. I think we've had this conversation before, Adam, on the debate. Listen, on mask and other issues regarding disparity of views, metro area versus greater Minnesota. I don't doubt what this person is saying. I think that's fairly typical of most schools outside the metro area, don't you? That there's a
yes.
definite higher rate mm-hmm. of attending school in person. Another text here. My daughter is a senior this year. She's glad to be back in person, even though she has only three classes at the school and the rest are online. Hopefully they get a prom and a real graduation. Well, that ties together with the next text. And again, please continue to send text 651-989-9226. The next text. I think schools could have had seniors opt out of electives and still graduate with enough credits required. Would be a lot less kids in school. I think it's been pretty clear, and I hope we're still there, where when schools had the capability, and that's a big part of this, Ed, if they had the capability to move from 25 in a class to 12 in a class to make the accommodations, maybe you're only in school 3 days a week. It's not 5 days. Maybe it is electives. I mean, where do you stand on that, Adam? Where you're going to reduce the number of classes, maybe even classes that you are required to get to graduate as an accommodation for what's taking place with the pandemic?
I mean, there's so many discussions about things we could do, and so many of these decisions were made on the fly to begin with. Once this, and hopefully sooner than later, gets past us, there will be so much reassessment of how things that worked and things that we did that were foolish or not in the best interest and that wouldn't have been made again. So I'm all for discussing options, but when I see that, the kids don't, seniors don't have to take electives. The sacrifices are still there that we're asking kids to make, because I have an elective class my senior year and I don't need it to graduate, it's still an experience that I'm losing.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. And is that better than some other sacrifices that other students are making? Some parents would say yes, some would say no, and that's why this has been so difficult from the beginning, because there's no decision that everybody says, well, okay, yeah, that's the perfect decision, now we can live with that. No, because...
Okay, let's stay with... Oh, sorry about that.
Go ahead.
Let's stay with this for at least a little bit more when we come back. I want more texts, including on the summer school conversation I had with Shaletta yesterday. I want to see what you guys have to say. 651-989-9226. Phone calls and texts encouraged. A number of excellent texts. We appreciate that. 651-989-9226 on schools. More kids headed back. I don't want to miss out on the summer school conversation. I had this with Shaletta last week because I keep reading stories on if kids have missed out as much as they have, not everybody, because we're going to get to a number of private school texts that are interesting. But if they've missed out as much as they have, Adam, going back to, middle March last year to off and on this year, summer school has been viewed as an option if kids need to make up classes, if you want to do sign up for extra classes, it has been a varying degree of how many sign up. What do you think? Should it be mandatory in any way? Should it be offered in a more serious way this summer? Or as Shaletta suggested, does everybody need a break? Do the teachers need a break? Do the parents need a break? Do the students need a break? Where do you stand on the summer school idea for 2021 compared to non-pandemic times?
Like making part of it mandatory for kids?
All options available.
All options available.
You can make it mandatory. You can include.
Well, I think expanding
more of
it for sure.
You can say, you can have even more of a break. We're not going to do it because it's been so stressful. The last thing you need is more schooling.
I think you may expand it as much as possible to make it available. So if kids want to catch up or what have you, that option is available.
That's my default too, Dan. But then where do you get the teachers? Because I think so many of these teachers who feel like they've been so stressed and worn out by what they've done and the accommodations they've had to make since middle March of 2020, I wonder how many of those teachers want to spend more time in class right now.
Yeah. No, I think that's a fair question, and I'd love to have a teacher call in and let us know what they think about that if they're not currently working. But, you certainly want to give the kids every opportunity to get as caught up as humanly possible. But it, all the, you know, when we talk about summer school in the past, you talk about facilities that are they, you know, are they able to do that? You know, do they have air conditioning? Are they, you know what I'm saying? Are they set up where they you could do that? And then, like you said, staffing is going to be a huge issue in terms of teachers going, you know, we've pushed this far enough. Let's give me a break here.
Let's get you more text here. Chad, my wife is a school occupational therapist, providing therapy for students with special needs in person in a school in the West Metro. She is getting her second shot today. I'm 61, in good health. I am concerned even though she will be fully vaccinated that I'm still at risk for any transmission she may bring home from school, as it may be a while before I get any shots. It's another issue, Adam, right? And listen, the vaccine at its highest is, what, 85 to 90 to maybe 95%. For some of those, it's with two doses. That second dose debate is still taking place. It takes weeks after for the Moderna vaccine to kick in. As Dan pointed out earlier, Pfizer is much sooner. But that's the residual concern, Adam. It's not just the particular teacher who's at school, but what they might transfer to others, because everybody probably has dozens and dozens of stories. I know I do. Where the husband gets COVID, gets really sick, everybody else in the house doesn't get it, or one other person gets it and is fine. I mean, that's part of the mystery of what's taking place. So that's one of the issues still, Adam, with, you know, teachers going to school and what they're facing and the implications for others.
Yeah.
Another text here. Today, my son, who's a senior at Blaine, returned for in-person classes. When he arrived at school this morning, he entered his first-hour classroom. There was one other student, and they had to watch the teacher on their computers because she was teaching from home. I'm not sure if in-person school makes any sense if you're watching the teacher on a computer screen in an empty room. No, that makes no sense, Carter. They need to tell you up front.
I know,
that's what you're... I mean, it's absurd.
Yeah, that would be absolutely ridiculous.
Another text here. I have one student in middle school at a private school. They have not had any COVID closures. I have a senior in a public high school whose distance and hybrid learning has been a joke. What the seniors are losing out is so sad, and the support for them is very low. We have a couple other texts about the private school situation. Most of the private schools, Adam, have stayed open. And it appears that their numbers aren't too bad. That's, you know, when you were talking about before the break on looking back on this afterwards and trying to understand what worked and what didn't work. You know, and listen, some of the most brilliant scientists and doctors are trying to understand this. But that debate on schools and what we should have been doing all along, what we did right and didn't do right, I think, don't you think that private school issue or just other schools that stayed open compared to others is going to be a huge part to try to understand?
100% right. Yeah, for sure. The reason I've got some breaking news, Chad, about Tiger Woods.
Oh.
Tiger Woods has apparently been involved in a serious car crash in California. This just came in because I saw there was one report from a radio reporter that was the sole report saying that he had to be removed from this vehicle with the jaws of life. And now we've got the LA County Sheriff's Department with this press release. I'll just read it here. At approximately 7:12 a.m., Los Angeles Sheriff's Department responded to a single vehicle rollover traffic collision on the border of Rolling Hills Estates in Rancho Palos Verdes. Vehicle traveling northbound on Hawthorne Boulevard when it crashed. Vehicle sustained major damage. The driver and sole occupant was identified as Tiger Woods. Mr. Woods was extracted from the wreck with the jaws of life by L.A. County firefighters and paramedics and taken to a local hospital for his injuries, the investigation being conducted by the L.A. Sheriff's Department. That's all we have so far.
Wow.
Yep.
So, Tiger appeared in public for the first time in months Sunday on coverage of the Genesis Invitational, where he is the host, But due to his fifth back operation, I think it's five, he did not participate in the tournament. I told you, I don't think he looked very good. I didn't think he sounded very good. He certainly did not sound optimistic about golf. So until then, Tiger had been off the radar. You think about two other car incidents for Tiger, of course, what happened the day after Thanksgiving in 2009 with his then-wife, Elin, and everything that took place related to that. Then you think about in May, help me out here, is it about 2016, 2017, when he was pulled over and really had no idea where he was.
Yep.
This was after another back operation on medication. He wasn't even sure which state he was in. I'm trying to remember if... Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was in Florida, and while he was pulled over, he was talking about, you know, mentioning Southern California. He then acknowledged he had an addiction issue and dealt with that. So, I mean, just read it again, because that's all we have at this point. And I'm looking at Twitter right now. I'm not seeing much popping up on Twitter. If you guys are, just let me know. But just to summarize again.
Yep. Single vehicle accident. L.A. County Sheriff's Department says Tiger Woods was sole occupant of the vehicle that crashed this morning about 7:12 Pacific time. Jaws of life had to be used to get Tiger out of the vehicle, taken to a hospital. No report on his injuries at this point, just saying that the car sustained major damage.
Ominous,
yeah,
is the word I would use on that, Dan. What would you use when you think about that?
Scary, just the implications of, you know, what could have happened, may have happened. You know, you pray for, obviously, for his health, but and thank God that nobody else seemed to have been hurt in the incident. But yeah, it's scary.
Adam,
I'd get very scary, and you know,
begging for more information.
Oh, for sure, and we're going to wait, you know, to see. You know, this is L.A., so, I mean, there's going to be photos and video, I'm sure, coming out fairly shortly to see, you know, about the condition of the vehicle, but I'm waiting to see, you know, how bad Tiger was injured. But certainly
so
troublesome.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, I think, you know, I understand people are going to speculate about what this could be. That's part of what's maybe good and bad about our society. We're going to try to balance that. I'm just clicking here a little bit. ESPN is staying with their programming. CNN does not have anything. I don't believe Fox has anything at this point. A lot of times with an athlete, you would not expect them to break in. Now I'm going to Fox. Fox just has broken in and basically has only what you just said, Adam. That, again, the jaws of life. If it wasn't an athlete, if it wasn't about what? Five athletes on planet Earth? I wouldn't be looking for the cable nuts.
Right.
Because Tiger Woods is that type of name, that type of reach, that type of success. So many challenges that he's also faced in his life. So this is a concerning story. Again, Tiger Woods in a singular car crash. Crews use a jaws of life to rescue him from the vehicle. And that is from the LA County Sheriff, and that is all we have at this point. We certainly will keep you up to date.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.